mean, from a domestic point of view, right now we're just in damage control. Like, we're just trying to keep the other part of our business afloat, and that's the retail sector. Without, you know, without customers, our business doesn't exist, and the retail butchers are certainly pretty bewildered at the moment. They've, whilst everyone's expected it, we just didn't expect it to happen so rapidly, and the flow on effect from the wholesaler to the retailer and down onto the consumer, you know, people, it's just people that would have handed over their money and walked away satisfied are now sitting there making a choice that they wouldn't have normally made in the past. It's come a long way very quickly, and so I'm not game enough to predict where it could go from here, because it's done it. It's got to where it is now so quickly.
What kind of cutbacks have you had to make?
We changed our supply chain a little bit, and we've found a way to make it work for ourselves, and that just meant purchasing lighter cattle, backgrounding them, having ownership of them longer, rather than necessarily out trying to buy slaughter cattle. To be perfectly honest, we can't compete. The only reason we're still in business is, you know, we've got sufficient cattle that we already own that have kept our turnover going. We deal with against competitors that supply meat to North Queensland from as far away as Victoria, and everybody's just reeling. Like, at least in the domestic industry, just standing back stunned, thinking, where's the next move going to come from?
Should processors, though, have been prepared for a change in the cycle to favour the producer after there's been 2 years of record slaughter rates and very low cattle prices?
Yeah, oh, definitely. I'd say that most people past the farm gate have been expecting this to happen. I don't think that there would be too many people that wouldn't have expected some changes. And definitely, you know, I don't think anybody begrudges producers getting more money. It would have been beneficial in the longer term if it had taken a little bit longer time to get to where it eventually got to, or where it's getting to. It might have just allowed the supply chain to adjust. But certainly, you know, for those people that are lucky enough to have sale cattle at the moment, I don't think everybody's happy to see the smiles around for a change.
When you're at the sale yards and you see a 600 to 700 kilogram beast selling for something like $1,700 a head at the sale yards, how do you recover those costs?
Usually those big animals, they go on into the export market, and there's not just the meat, there's the co-products that come from those animals. There's tallow and offal and hides and basically you've got to recoup everything that you can to get the money from that animal. And when you talk at it in terms of $1,700 to $2,000 worth of meat on that animal, it's pretty hard to see it sometimes. You know, the average carcass weight that we slaughter is about 240 to 250 kilos. So at the moment, we're talking about $1,200 to $1,300, not $1,700 for ours. But certainly when I'm at the sale yards and I see those large animals going for such large amounts of money, yeah, you definitely sit and wonder how is anyone recouping those costs.
How much harder does that then become when you've got export buyers and producers on the market in increasing numbers?
From our point of view, we've bought very few slaughter cattle from anywhere other than our own operations in the last sort of 3 months. And looking forward, you know, we can probably sustain this for another 12 months, but beyond that, the future's a little bit uncertain for us. I just hope a lot of the existing businesses that are out there on the meat side of things, I just hope that they're still around in the next 10 to 15 years.